Number 3, Female Point of View. This happened back in the summer of 2009. I was fresh out of a marriage that I had jumped into too quickly, and here I was looking to find myself again. So I called two of my oldest siblings that live in New York City, and I told them that I was coming for a visit. Needless to say, they were elated. I only had to pay for my bus ticket there. It was rather cheap, and I had a good job at the time, so I was able to purchase on a whim. Gleefully, I packed my suitcase so full it could barely zip, with all my favorite summer clothes, jewelry, makeup, etc. I get to the bus station, and all is going well. The lady at the customer service desk hands over my ticket, and I wait for my bus departure to be announced. Along the way on the bus ride, we made a few rest stops until we get to our transfer station in Philly. And this is where things got weird. Everyone transferring buses gets off, and a new group gets on. I see a lot of strange looking people, but none stood out like this one. There was a guy with long straggly brown hair, thick glasses, and a wild beard. He wasn't bad smelling or homeless looking. In fact, he looked quite well put together and smelled of cologne. He just kind of had this creepy serial killer lumberjack vibe about him. Whenever I travel, I always take the window seat. It's my thing. And lo and behold, creepy guy sits right next to me. He starts talking. It was innocent enough. I'm not much of a talker by nature, so I just listen. He talks about his sister's wedding, stating that he had just attended it in Philly and was telling me that he was on his way back to New York City. I nodded and smiled. He then said in the creepiest whisper I've ever heard in my life, "I'm going to kiss you now." And before I could respond, or react for that matter, he planted his lips onto mine, and his scruffy beard scratched my face. I yelped in horror, and punched him as hard as I could in his arm. He then let out a loud, insane laugh, and said that he loved me, and he knew that I was the one. I've never seen this man a day in my life, and I didn't know him from a can of paint. I soon realized that this guy was mentally disturbed. Just as I stood up to cross over him and go complain to the driver, a young woman appeared a few seats behind us, profusely apologizing, claiming that he was her cousin and he had a mental disability. She offered to trade seats with me, and I accepted. The whole time, his laughing gets louder and louder, and more disturbing. That was the end of my interaction with them. But the next bus stop, as I was getting off to get snacks, I walked past their seats and saw the two of them making out, whispering and laughing. They were very strange people. I don't know if they were really cousins or not, but I was glad to make it to New York City and see my big brother at the station waiting for me. I ran into his arms, clearly shaken. He asked me what was wrong, but I never told him what exactly happened. Nevertheless, he and my sister tried to comfort me, but I still wouldn't spill it. I have been a frequent flyer ever since this incident occurred. Even thinking about it gives me the creeps. Number 2, Female Point of View. This happened when I was 9. I left school early because my brother and his friend Sally, who were both 7 at the time, had a dance performance later that day. I was with them and Sally's mom and aunt. I did not look like I was with them. My brother is very dark-skinned, and he looked like he could have been Sally's sibling. On the other hand, I'm pasty, almost sickly-looking, and we would often get stares when I was with them. So we were sat on the bus. 9-year-old me is in my school uniform, which is a gray knee-length skirt, white shirt, and my red jumper that is tied around my waist. I was sat alone. I had my lunchbox on the seat next to me, and I was minding my own business. About halfway through our 30-minute journey to the theater where my brother was performing, a guy gets on the bus. He He was the very stereotypical creeper type, overweight, smelled unclean, baggy, dirty clothes and scruffy facial hair. He made his way up the stairs and stood over the seat next to me. At the time, I didn't realize that there was plenty of other empty seats he could have sat in. So I moved my lunch bag, thinking he needed the seat. He sat very close to me, and I could feel his eyes on me. I was uncomfortable, but being the shy kid I was, I didn't say anything. He sat next to me for a good 10 minutes. Then his demeanor changed. He looked around quickly and moved his hand towards my leg. That's when Sally's mom, who was in the seat behind him, hit him over the head with her umbrella and said, "Stop looking at her legs, you dirty pig." He moved. Looking at him, I don't think he had ever moved that fast in his life. The rest of the journey was okay. I was shaken, but relieved that Sally's mom had seen what he was about to do. As we got off the bus, I looked up at him, and he gave me a menacing smile and winked. I hurried off the bus and pretended it didn't happen. I saw him on that bus every day for the next year, until he just randomly disappeared. A few years down the line, while searching for a news piece on a local website, I came across a mugshot of the exact man with that same menacing grin. The article explained that he had been caught with child pornography and later admitted to the rape of a 5-year-old girl. Number 1. This encounter happened to my mom when she was in middle school in the early 1970s. Her family lived outside of town, so she rode the bus to and from school. She was in 6th grade and had a boyfriend who also rode her bus. They would sit together and hold hands, but they were not inappropriate with their interactions. The bus driver took notice of their relationship and started to make comments to them. He would ask if they kissed a lot, if they tongued, and once even asked him if he sniffed her underwear. Not knowing what to do, they just did their best to ignore him. On the last day of school, the bus route went as usual, except that the driver skipped my mom's stop. When he stopped at the next house several miles away, she tried to get off the bus with the girl that got off at that stop. The kids all knew each other pretty well and were friends. The driver stopped her and made her sit back down. Every stop after that, she would try to get off, and the bus driver would tell her to sit back down, until she was the last one left on the bus. She was already terrified and crying. She said that she didn't remember if she was praying out loud or not, but she remembers just begging for an idea of how to get away. The driver told her to move in front of the bus, right behind his seat. Instead, she picked up her things and moved to the very last seat. On her way, she set her books and things in the middle of the aisle, hoping that if he came after her, he would be slowed down. He finally started back down her road towards her house, but turned off onto a dirt road leading back to some brush. She finally decided that even if he slowed down enough, she was going out the back emergency door and running for it. As he turned down another dirt road, leading deeper into the brush, she happened to glance out the back window to see her dad and her older brother and their truck following behind. She shouted up to the driver, "You better stop this bus right now. That's my dad behind the bus." He then stopped the bus and opened the doors for her to get off, but she was too scared to move. Within a few seconds, her dad was on the bus, standing right up next to the driver so that she could walk around him. He told her to go get in the truck with her brother. As she sat in the truck, she could see her dad through the back window, just going off on the guy, only verbally, unfortunately. When her dad got back into the truck, he hugged her like never before, and she just lost it crying. She knew that if her dad was scared, she had just escaped with her life. Now, this wasn't just a coincidence that her dad had found her. Every kid who got off the bus after they missed my mom's stop had gone home and told their parents that the driver wouldn't let her off the bus and that she was really scared and crying. The parents all called my grandparents to let them know about the stories that they were getting. My grandparents never reported the incident to the police or the school, but they did talk to the owner of the bus company, and they never saw that guy driving again. My mom believes that they didn't report it to the police because her dad had threatened the driver's life and would, in turn, report that to the police. My grandfather went to his grave without ever revealing what he said to that bus driver. Several years later, my mom was talking to her mother-in-law about grandma's cousin who was married to a guy from my mom's hometown. She was telling her that this guy was in prison for impregnating his 14-year-old stepdaughter. As an off-the-cuff remark, she mentioned that the guy used to be a school bus driver in the district where my mom went to school. My mom almost passed out at this news. I know what you're probably thinking, and I feel the same way, that they should have said something to the police and had him arrested long before he found another potential victim. I believe they made a mistake in that regard, but I'm glad he ended up in prison though. Number 3. Okay, so this happened to me about 7 years ago when I first started high school. The school was about a 10-minute walk away from my little brother's school, so every day I would walk up there to meet him. It was a pretty safe walk along a main road with lots of sunlight and cars, but not many people most of the time. Occasionally, you would get other school children or some runners, and some old people walking to their apartments, and of course, the people waiting at the bus stop. The bus stop was halfway between my school and my brother's, and there were only ever about 2 people waiting there. One afternoon, I was walking up to meet my brother. That day, I left my headphones at home, so I couldn't listen to music while walking, which is what I would normally do. So I was just walking and enjoying the sun. When I reached the bus stop, I noticed an old man sitting on the bench waiting for a bus. I passed him and didn't think much of it because he seemed harmless. I would say this guy was about 60 to 65 years old, pretty short, and not very fit. As soon as I walked past him, I heard him get up. I didn't see a bus coming. Maybe he was checking the timetable, but of course not. I turned my head to check, and this guy is like 5 steps behind me with his eyes stuck on me. I started to speed walk, but then I heard him speed up too. I looked behind me and sure enough, he's speed walking as well. I was scared. He hadn't taken his eyes off me, and now, whenever I looked back, he was giving me this creepy, devilish grin. There was nobody else around, and I was about 200 meters from my brother's school. I decided to book it. I looked behind me, and the old guy was now running after me. I couldn't believe it. He was faster than I expected, too. Every time I looked back, he was staring and smiling. I was almost in tears. I was so scared that I wasn't going to make it. Now, I know you might think that a young teenage girl could outrun a man in his 60s, but with a heavy school bag and a messed up knee from gymnastics, I was about as equipped to run as he was. By this point, I could see my brother's school and some kids leaving. I was kind of relieved, and I thought the old man would ease up and notice that other people were around. But no. What does this guy do? He starts yelling to the people, saying,
"My granddaughter, she's running away from me. Get her. She's in trouble."
All the while giving me this evil grin. I then stop because I've come to a massive road and I don't want to get hit by a car. This guy gets close enough to grab my bag and tells me to stop being such a little cunt and that he was going to win and take me away. I screamed and ran for my life, not caring about the cars. I got to my brother's school and looked back to see the guy jogging towards me. I ran into the main building and told the receptionist what happened. She looked outside and saw a man waiting outside the school gate, moving his head around as if he was trying to spot someone. I told her that that was him. She then told me to wait with her while she called the police. The man walked away after about 10 minutes, but the police did catch him, and we found out that he had been offering candy to kids from my brother's school and trying to get them to come home with him in the afternoons. I walked on the other side of the road from then on, avoiding the bus stop and anyone I would pass. Number 2. I grew up in rural Michigan and rode the bus to school every morning. We lived in a house at the bottom of a hill on a country road. My bus stop, however, was at the top of the hill after you passed my house. The story I'm about to tell happened when I was 7 or 8 years old. I woke up one morning and got ready for school like I usually did. My bus picked me up around 7 a.m., right when the sun was starting to come up. But there were still spots of darkness deep in the woods. I was the only kid who was picked up at my bus stop. So I would stand at the edge of the woods and wait until the bus came. My mom or dad would have to drop me off about 5 minutes before the bus came and hightail it to work in order to make it there by 8 o'clock. It's not that they felt completely comfortable doing this, but they didn't have many options. We lived in a safe area, or so we thought, and the bus arrived on time 99% of the time, so they weren't too worried that anything would happen to me in the 5 minutes I was left alone. So I'm standing there, cold as shit, waiting for the bus to come, watching the sun rise slowly in the sky. It's still a little dark out, but not yet bright enough for me to see what's going on around me. I saw the lights of the bus in the distance, on time as usual, and it came to a stop right in front of me. My bus driver, Mrs. Teresa, opened the door and said good morning and gestured for me to hop on. I walked to my seat, put my stuff down, and noticed that the bus wasn't moving yet. Mrs. Teresa still had the door ajar. She just sat there, leaning slightly out of her seat, staring into the woods for a good minute or so. We were off and on our way to school after picking up a few more kids. After arriving at school, Mrs. Teresa escorted us in, which is something that she never did. And I remember seeing her slip into the office and talking to one of the secretaries. I went through my regular school day and I was picked up by my dad in the car rider line as normal. When he picked me up though, he started asking me all kinds of questions. Did the bus pick you up okay this morning? Did any car stop and blow their horn at you as you waited? Strange questions that he had never asked before. The next morning, my parents didn't take me to the bus stop. My mom dropped me off at school before going to work at a later time. This continued, alternating a drop-off by my mom or dad for the remainder of the school year. At the same time, I noticed they changed my bus stop. Years later, I found out why my bus driver went into the school that day and why my bus stop was relocated. When Mrs. Teresa picked me up that morning, she saw a man standing in the woods behind where I was. She alerted the school secretary, who alerted the transportation office for the school district, and then the police. The police investigated and found some items wrapped up in a t-shirt back in the woods. A hunting knife, rope, a rag or washcloth, and tape. The police never found out who that shit belonged to, but the bus driver, my parents, and the police felt certain that whoever it belonged to had the worst intentions. I think about this often and wonder what would have happened to me had my bus driver been a few minutes late, or had she not noticed the man standing in the woods after I boarded the bus. Because of this incident, the school district changed my bus stop to be located right in front of my house. That way I could stay in my house until the bus pulled up. No more standing by the woods for me. I resumed riding the bus the next school year. A few years ago, I was leaving my grad school office late around 10 p.m. to catch the bus home. I walked from the university campus through relatively busy, well-lit streets to the main road in my area of the city, 109th Street in Edmonton. I was waiting for the bus at a shelter as it was in the middle of the winter, snowing, and a bit cold. The buses ran about every 15 minutes, so I wasn't worried or nervous. just patiently waiting to get home. I was listening to my music on my headphones when I noticed a guy walk up to the shelter. I looked at him briefly and did that little Canadian half smile of acknowledgement and went back to listening to my music and reading Reddit. A few minutes passed and I could hear him start talking to me. Well, I assumed that it was me, as there was no one else around. I looked up and he was staring right at me, smiling a bit oddly and speaking to me. I took out my headphones and said, "Excuse me?" He kept smiling and blathering on, asking me about my day, the weather, what I like to do, etc. I don't know what it is about me, but I'm a perennial people pleaser. I don't like confrontation, and my main aim in life seems to be keep the peace. So I answered a few of his questions as politely and as non-specifically as I could, with one earbud still in my ear. He just kept blathering on, and I just sort of nodded my head politely. He went on for about 10 minutes, and I just had this sinking feeling in my stomach about this guy, like something was just a little off, but enough to make me nervous. After about 10 minutes, I could see the bus rolling up, which was a huge relief for me. No one else had arrived at the bus stop, and I could see at least 10 to 15 people on the bus, which was great. I got on the bus and sat near the front, and the guy sat across from me so he could keep talking to me. I originally intended to head down to my house, to the west of the street that I was on, but after this guy decided to be my personal parrot, I decided, screw it, I'm going to my boyfriend's instead, directly to the east of the street I was on. I was still getting a very uncomfortable feeling from this guy, so I decided to push the bus stop button a stop early and see what the guy did. The bus came to a stop at my request, and the guy got up. I didn't move.
"Isn't this your stop too?"
he asked me. I said, "Whoops, I must have hit the wrong stop." He looked at me and said,
"Oh, that's funny. I mixed it up too. This isn't my stop either."
And then he sat back down. At this point, I'm pretty freaked out. I hit the bus stop for the next stop and texted my boyfriend to come out and meet me at 109th Street. I got up to leave the bus once it stopped, and the creepy dude followed. I crossed the road, and he was still tailing me, still talking away at me, and still asking me questions. Once I got to the other side of the road, I told him that I had to go and that my boyfriend was meeting me. He looked irritated at the idea of my boyfriend and tried to walk with me a bit more, but I stopped and I told him that I was walking on alone.
"Can I have your number?"
he asked. I panicked and just froze. I decided to give him almost my number, just the last 4 digits scrambled. I read it off to him and said goodnight and started walking away quickly. I made it maybe 20 steps away and I could hear someone jogging after me.
"Hey,"
he yelled.
"I think there was a mix-up. I tried calling the number and it wasn't you."
He jogged up level next to me and was still smiling that same fucking smile, staring at me. How weird, I said, grabbing my phone. I pretended to check it for a missed call and quickly texted my boyfriend that I was terrified and that he needed to get here now.
"So what's your real number then?"
he asked. I honestly don't know what I would have done. I think I probably would have given him my real number. I just had no idea what to do. It was cold, it was winter, and it was dark in this little residential neighborhood that I had entered, and I knew that I couldn't outrun him. Luckily for me, that was when my boyfriend came running up. He's 6'3" and somewhat imposing, and I turned to the guy and said, "Have a good night," and jogged up to my boyfriend and just launched myself at him. I didn't look back at the creepy dude, but I did tell my boyfriend to please make sure all the doors were locked and the windows were closed before going to bed that night.
Back when I first moved up to New York, the fumes from the traffic outside made my asthma come back with a vengeance. I ended up going to a doctor and he said that I didn't have to worry anymore because he had this top-of-the-line asthma medication that would completely rid me of my symptoms. I was over the moon when he told me that, as I was having a really rough time, like couldn't sleep and stuff because of it. So I got the prescription, hit up a local pharmacy for the pills, then got home and took like 3 of them immediately so I could finally get some decent sleep. I take the pills, take a shower, grab a bite to eat, and then I head to bed and read a book until my lungs untighten and I start to feel sleepy. I remember turning my lamp off before I settled down to go to sleep, and the last thing I did was cuddle my cat and be like, "Finally, we can get some sleep, don't it?" From memory, this would have been maybe 10:30 at night, so it was still relatively early, especially by Brooklyn standards. Then at maybe 1:30 in the morning, I woke up, still with nice clear lungs, but when I opened my eyes, I saw a short, dark shape standing in the middle of my bedroom. I immediately shot up out of bed, switched on the lamp on my bedside table, and got ready to either kick whoever's butt or run screaming from the room. But when the light lit up the room, there was absolutely nothing there. It looked like it could have been a kid. It was that short, but then it was also way too bulky to be a kid. It looked like a smaller version of a large, muscular grown man. Needless to say, I was seriously unsettled by what I saw, or what I thought I saw, and the whole thing basically ruined any chance I had at a decent night's sleep, as I was absolutely terrified to see that thing again. I only really fell back asleep as I saw the dawn start to break outside, and then about an hour later I had to be up for work. The next day, I was terrified, talking to my friends in a group chat, but they just thought that it was hilarious, telling me that there's no such things as ghosts and whatnot, and that I must have just imagined the whole thing. When I swore on my grandma's grave that not a word of what I was saying was a lie, they just carried on making fun of me, telling me to get an exorcist and all this nonsense, and that if I was going to make up a ghost story, at least make it spooky. But I wasn't making anything up. I didn't believe in the supernatural or anything like that, but what I experienced had me seriously questioning whether I'd been right to just assume it was all nonsense. Because what else explained what I saw and how quickly it disappeared? When they finally started to believe me, one suggested I'd been experiencing some kind of sleep paralysis. They had a cousin that had gone through a literal nightmare of a time dealing with a condition that made it feel like there was some kind of demon in the room with them at night, and they couldn't do a single thing to stop it because they couldn't move. Only, that didn't make sense because the moment I saw the shape of the thing, I jumped up and turned my light on to see if anything was there, which is right when the thing just seemed to completely disappear. That's when my buddy starts getting seriously concerned for me. I think he finally started to appreciate that I wasn't just making stuff up. After that, he actually starts trying to help me figure it all out, and we go through a ton of different medical conditions and stuff before he finally asked me if I'm on drugs. He meant like actual illegal drugs or whatever, but that's when it hit me. I was on a new medication for my asthma, and the medication was Singulair. I grabbed the box, took out the little piece of paper on the inside, then started reading through the side effects. That's how I found out that in some cases, your first few doses can cause waking dreams around your sleeping hours, like brief hallucinations that are basically just dreams bleeding over into reality. It was such a relief knowing I wasn't going crazy, and even more of a relief knowing that nothing remotely supernatural was going on, because I can't even describe how terrifying of a concept that was to me. I'd grown up not believing in anything like that, and that sudden but false realization that spirits, demons, whatever you want to call them, were real. That's a feeling of terror that I don't think I'll ever forget. So just a little warning out there, be careful with Singulair, because as much as it did a great job in ridding me of my asthma symptoms, I went right back to using my inhaler. No, it wasn't nearly as effective, and I still had a lot of trouble sleeping for a while until I finally moved to a less air-polluted city. But it was way, way better than suffering from hallucinations, especially scary ones in the middle of the night.